All right, let's go ahead and call the meeting to order. Let's go ahead and do the introduction of members of the committee. And go around and do, just share your name. We have a new committee member, someone?
Yeah. They had, I think we have Commissioner Bauman here today, but I also, as I understand from Mr. Gonzalez, Mark Holyoke from Lawrence is going to be taking Diana's place as the hospital representative.
Okay. So maybe a brief introduction of your connection to this committee, so that Mr. Gonzalez, right?
No, I'm
I'm sorry.
I'm Mike Gonzalez. This is Commissioner Bauman.
Bauman, okay. Know what we're about here.
There.
Hi, my name is Joel Chavez. I'm a SUV representative of Benton County.
I'm Cindy Saunders. I'm the mental health representative from Benton County. I'm attracted by county lived experience, and I also manager at the 911 center.
Erin Petty, community member, Pasco.
Chad Michael, fire and EMS, representative for Benton County.
I'm Kyle Sullivan, and I represent services.
Matt Rasmussen represents Benton County Commissioners.
Franklin County represent mental health in Franklin County.
Say your name.
BJ.
BJ. Carla Pratt, Benton Franklin Hill District, Public Health.
John Roach, Franklin County General Public.
Becky Gross, I'm the Substance Use Disorder Representative for Franklin County.
My name is Jason Bliss, Benton County Lived Experience, and I'm the Executive Director of the Washington Alliance for Quality Recovery.
Sure, I've been Franklin County Lived Experience, ultimately, Jason Bliss.
Angie Manorlin, North Franklin County Community Member.
Steven Allen, Franklin County Sheriff, or Sheriff Ray, Jim Ray. County Commissioner. It's all so Franklin County administrator.
Kevin Crowley, I'm the Franklin County Representative, fire and EMS.
Matt Clark, Benton County Sheriff's Office.
Excellent. All right, you received the minutes from our January 11th meeting. Any corrections or comments for the minutes?
Motion to approve the minutes is printed.
Second.
Been moved to second. Any discussion? Those in favor say aye. Opposed? Motion carries. All right, we have an opportunity. We have several guests here today from the public, and it's your opportunity to share with the committee any comments or questions that you have that you can address to the committee. You will have opportunity to do this again at the end of our business, but we want to give you the opportunity to do that now.
If it's okay, I would like to introduce Lord's new CEO, Mark Holyoke.
All right. Mark, welcome.
Thank you.
Franklin County Commission appointed him to this board yesterday.
Okay.
Thankful to have him here.
Appreciate the opportunity to be involved.
Any questions, comments from the community? Public comment time. All right, on to discussion items. Matt, you're up. Recovery Center update.
So on since the last meeting, we continue to meet weekly with the design build team. We've been working the last 3 weeks on narrowing down the programming spaces. So we were able to come to an agreement with the design build team on where in the Kennewick General, in the Kennewick Hospital facility, the programs would be located. We aren't down to very specifics, but just in general where they would go. So we know how much space we will probably use, and we've barely been working on trying to maximize the amount of grant funds we have, because the more of the building that we touch, the the higher those costs get, especially we have to bring everything up to fire life safety codes. There happens to be a natural fire break between two sections of the building that we were trying very hard not to go past because that would add another 25,000-30,000 square feet of area that we would have to address. And so we were able to figure out a way that we believe, and it sounds like the provider believes will work for the programs that we are currently standing up. Also leaves some ability for some other spaces to be occupied rather quickly. They are also on the side of that fire break. So we've talked, you know, a little bit about maybe having some housing come in or some outpatient services. Those could still be accommodated in there. So we gave the design build team the direction to move forward with that option and develop now. They're going to develop a more detailed budget and a schematic drawing to have some more detail on what exactly is going to go where. So I think we've made some good progress here in the last month. Still on track to have their the validation phase deliverable in March. That'll include that estimate and those initial design drawings. And they're hopeful still to start demolition in the summer. Good progress on that. We also were able to have a good meeting with Lord's counseling earlier this week, and we had some discussion around the restrictions there on crisis stabilization, and we're going to continue to meet with them and discuss on how we can work together to provide services in the community that are beneficial to everybody, the county and boards and everything else. That I thought that went very well. I appreciate Mark and his team being willing to have that discussion, and look forward to meeting with you guys again on that. So appreciate that. So yeah, made good progress here this last month.
Next item. Oh, any questions or comments?
I'll just say I also had an opportunity for a little bit about sobering center, sort of the timeline. If things get going, probably best case scenario September at the earliest. So they're working out some details with that. The structure seems to be in good condition. So this is. But anyhow, they submitted a budget, which I had sent to Matt. Some other things we discussed were perhaps using some of the mental health tax money to support. Could the acronym Jason was a step program? So that was a commitment, like 17.5 per year. It seemed like a really good. On the streets, maybe using drugs and get them to services and connect them. So we've got a ton of money. I want to say upwards of $6 million that we started. So I'd like to get to. Also, and then also there was a diversion program. Seeking attorney's office to services to round them again executed. Services on our charges. That was a 45,000 funding. So we've got plenty of it. And so I've set up to come back through my boss just to see what they think. Same like a good person. So I'll, as more of that information is stored, I'll bring it to you.
Those both sound like very good programs. I was under the understanding we were kind of putting a moratorium on funding those programs until we get a more comprehensive look at what all this is going to cost.
At least a moratorium, you know, is for the committee to make a recommendation. Yeah. Obviously, the county commissioner could decide their own.
Sure.
Yeah, and I think that was more of the ask, you know, to keep the programs funded and going. And I think they've got some insider knowledge that we have some money hanging around.
Sure.
And I'm hearing from the community a little bit, like, why aren't you guys spending some of that money? It's accumulating. I kind of feel the same way, perspective. So I feel like it's a good opportunity for us to put some stake in the game. Start doing our, you know, the money for our mouth has been, I guess. So I know I'm supportive of it, but like I said, I'm going to have to get rather through my bosses. And what I actually suggested to Mauricio this morning and to Nelly, who came, was perhaps go in front of commissioners and let them know what their vision is with this, why we should support it. So I'm going to try to get them on our agenda as early as next Wednesday. So if we decide to use the money, we extract it. Keep that, keep those programs from you. So the numbers really good in terms of helping on prosecution. Upwards. It's making a significant. So.
And one thing.
If you guys want to say anything about that, I guess that we had a great conversation this morning.
No, I think Governor Sanchez.
One of the main things is that these programs, they are in the community. They are not inside the rooms. They are out 8 hours, 8 hours a day. And they are delivering Narcan to the clients. We are delivering close to 100 Narcan staff a month to clients. And also connecting with another organization like Clear Sweep, transporting clients to other rehab facilities. So this is something that we are doing. It's the idea is to keep the program running because they are.
I could follow up question if I could. Are you proposing that this program will run side by side with the sobering center, or is it two separate programs?
In my understanding, Bruce, correct me if I'm wrong, that they would run kind of conjunction.
Okay.
My take on it was we can get. We can continue to fund the current programs that are in place while we plan on the sobering center, but that comes to fruition. So these are already in place. The sobering center, obviously, there needs to be infrastructure that needs to be put. Assuming some permits have to go through the city, have to check it. Get all those processes up. I think we could be impactful with this on the front end while sewer center's coming. Sure.
So is this additional funding to expand the existing services? Because I know like PATH and prosecutorial diversion has been existing for some time now. So what's the reason behind the additional funding?
So the PATH program, they had by phone, but I think they have got to catch up a match of 33.33% that we are not having right now. So that way we are requesting this because we want this program to keep running, not shutting down. The healthcare authority should have the numbers, the case managers, the PDP program, because of the current crisis in the Defense Center League, is the process to refer clients to that program is taking longer. So if you don't need the budget to maintain the staffing, obviously has to close down. But we want to keep running the programs. That is why my expect. The goal is to have 70 clients plus. Right now it's getting pretty slow. But I met with the particular group from Denver and Franklin County. We start getting more referrals, but it's taking the process. So it's just to sustain the program. It's not like no for profit or anything, it's just to maintain, to pay the salaries for the staff, and maintain the run, and the program running products together.
So without the funding, the programs wouldn't exist, would cease to exist?
It would be hard to.
Yeah. So we have less clients. The program works like this. We have a specific amount of money just for administrative fees, but the other money is coming according with the perseverance for clients for facility. If I have 10 clients and in 1 month, we get more money. I have one client and we get $1,000. That's not over the salary this time. But the program has been running for 6 years and it's working really well. So, but we want to start some diversion for the DSS.
On the PATH program, the match, was that state dollars is matching before or previous years? Okay. So it's to it's to replace that, so. And is it both been Franklin County's, both?
They serve both.
Like the budget that you spoke of, that you had, the budget proposal that you spoke of that got turned into Matt, was that specifically for this PAP program or for the sobering program?
Yeah, it was separate documents, so they submitted what they thought the sobering center was going to operate. Separate asks.
Okay.
So. So you have to reset the numbers.
Okay.
So last month, we got our first very useful breakdown where kind of everything sits with our current projections on the construction side of things, alongside the grant dollars that have been received, and the current revenues to date that have been received both on the Benton and Franklin County side from the behavioral health tax. And in that summary, we talked about the fact that some of those accumulated sales tax revenues could potentially be used to fill, if needed, the construction gap to get to a tune of something like $7-ish million potentially. And I know there were some other grant funding sources that were being looked at to hopefully be able to fill that gap without touching the sales tax revenues, but that in the event that those couldn't be captured, that those significant accumulated sales tax revenues may be needed for the four primary, to stand up the four primary programs in the one-stop center. So it seems like, you know, if we, and I know, Courtney, we probably don't have this today from an operating perspective, and there's still a lot of unknowns, but if we had some kind of projection range of what it was going to cost for the four basic programs in, let's say, 2 years, and we knew within a range what that is going to look like, it would help to make these kinds of decisions against, because I get the idea to start utilizing these funds because they've been accumulating and adding value, especially to existing programs that are already working. If we don't, you know, support them, they're going to close down. But it would be nice to be able to make those decisions against a more complete financial picture over the next 2 years, because, you know, that money may be needed to get us out of the gate potentially. So it's just something to consider.
And to add to that, I want to make sure clear is that Benton County is committed to fund the construction of the first four phases of the recovery center. So, you know, that if any of that money were to come, it would come from our collective side. So obviously Franklin County has a little more leeway to do. But there, I assume that someday there will be an operational agreement where we would share in the cost of the operation and facility, but they do have some additional capital money that's been collected that may not get tied up in capital. Obviously, that's their decision. So our side of it, we are a little more cautious about making sure that we do have those dollars to make sure that we do get this first program out of the gate. It's far along. We feel like we have enough money collected now to cover that gap. If we can't get other grants, we are chasing several other grants, trying to minimize the amount that comes out of that sales tax. But obviously, we want, I'd rather use money that our constituents already pay that will otherwise leave the region to pay for the construction if we can. So we did get notice, and I haven't seen any formal documents, but I got a notification this morning that it looks like there's another settlement for opioid distributors with Johnson & Johnson. The state is going to be getting the distribution percentage will be the same as it has been in the past, but it looks like it will be a one-time payment instead of spread out over 18 years like the other ones are. So if the number that they have is correct, it's going to the locals and our percentage is the same, that's almost $1 million that'll come to Benton County from that, just that one settlement. So that can help fill that gap too.
Same process.
I was actually going to mention that as another alternative is, if the commissioners don't want to use some of the sales tax funding for this, the city of Pasco and Franklin County, either one of them have turned in a spending plan yet for the current opioid funds that they have. And if these individuals are substance use users or you're handing out Narcan, you know, could use some of that opioid funds for the program as well.
That's what I was thinking too, because that's what I discussed with Priscilla Nelly this morning. Because we had just talked, like, a little bit, talked not too long ago. Those funds are also key.
Right.
Because I think we've got close to 75,000 now.
Yeah.
And it's something I was thinking about, like, funding off share, whether you guys are interested in doing it. It's fully funded on the account side. Obviously, I have to lobby these guys to do it, but because to me, that would also make it less, we have the Pasco Boards connection, so it makes sense for us to support it. So that's kind of my thinking. So it's a good little gesture to support. Perhaps it will be impactful the entire community, but also it's right there. So that was what I wasn't really intending, Matt, to ask you for the, you know, the share of the cost, even though it benefits both of us. But
and don't feel
I'll
like
see where can. That goes with the commission, though.
Don't feel like you can't, because I think, you know, the commissioners on our side and your side, they are partners in this whole endeavor to provide better behavioral health services. So we absolutely are willing to pay our fair share. So
let me see how that goes with our commission. That will be fine. If it's the next certain stuff.
But yeah, that's a good point. Is some of these smaller programs, opioid dollars that are coming in over the next 17 years might be a good fit for them. So,
Mike, budget information, is that for our next meeting then?
Yeah, it does. Through that, I kind of wanted to tee that up for Matt just to have him get down.
Okay.
I think it'd be worth further discussion.
Okay.
Next meeting, so the group has it. Now we have Mark, he can speak to that. So that was my attempt to get him permission in this discussion.
Any other questions, discussions on that item? Yeah.
I don't know if it falls under that item. It should. Any update on the crisis stabilization unit, the building? Are we still planning on using that building that's by the public market? And is there, what's going on there?
So the last month's meeting, we talked about that the design build team had recommended that we not utilize the two facility approach. And that was largely because it was going to be far more expensive than we had originally anticipated to do that. And so we don't have any current plans for that facility. We aren't intending to get rid of it, because obviously as we sit around and discuss the needs in the community, there's going to be a need for space. And so we're going to look to that until we've got to a point where we feel like we're meeting the needs of the services that are needed. So right now it's not intending to be used.
Oh, that's great.
So everything's going to go in the KGH facility.
Okay, so is that part of the conversations with the boards around the whole 72-hour?
We want to make sure that we are, you know, finding ways to make sure that if, you know, we have to have jurisdiction and have a better understanding of why that was asked for, that we make sure that we have a plan in place working with Lawrence County, that people aren't being asked to leave the facility with nowhere else to go. That's the discussion
that we need
to have. Make sure that, because none of us want to see that scenario happen. So
that's good news.
Right. Any other discussion on that? What's the name of our committee? Communications Committee. We didn't meet. We kind of met over email. But we did some wordsmithing for mission, values, and vision. So somebody want to walk us through that?
Well,
I mean, I don't know if I need to read it. I think everyone can read it. I think what the ask was to go from the charter, you know, that was created when this committee was originally formed, and to draw from it a sort of succinct mission and vision that I think, you know, BJ did the work of drawing that out, but it's virtually verbatim with, I think, a few adjustments from that original language, but with the idea of giving us something that encapsulates what the role of the committee is, so that, you know, especially as people on the committee interface with other potential community partners, with the media, you know, with different stakeholders in the community, that they had a, you know, a basis for describing what the role of the committee is and what their role within that committee was. So that's, I think, what the task was in the past month. And I think, you know, for me, the biggest adjustment from what the original language was that was put in was the last sentence here, which is that, you know, specifically we advocate for the vital role of the recovery center in our community, because in that original charter language, that, I mean, it's sort of implicit, but it's not stated as clearly as we thought was valuable for this purpose. And so BJ incorporated that into it.
The next one is the values. We identified those 5 core values: community-centric approach, inclusivity and representation, transparency and accountability, collaboration and partnership, and ethical integrity for the values of our committee. There's an explanation for each one of those as well. And then the last slide, vision. The vision and mission ended up being a bit wordy, but when you're trying to summarize the charter and whatnot, certainly there's a lot there to incorporate some.
No, I didn't say this earlier, BJ, because I'm just thinking about looking at the vision because of what you just said, that a lot of times the vision is one sentence or two sentences. A lot of times you come up with a purpose statement too that actually starts. So if we wanted to thin down the vision, we can pull some of that vision to a purpose statement if it felt too wordy for some.
Yeah, I mean, on that note, you know, I think everyone involved in this conversation had been through at least one, if not more, you know, lengthy workshop-based strategic planning exercise where, you know, these statements were collaborated upon and honed in upon, and we didn't necessarily feel like that was necessary here, that the purpose of this was to you know, provide that sort of cornerstone guidance for the committee members and for the public, and that it reflective of what the charter was. So it may be that folks on the committee think that, you know, such an exercise that can distill this down to a, you know, a single statement, vision statement, a one sentence vision statement is needed. But that's not how we approached this. We did it via email and with BJ sort of acting as the scribe. And we felt like, you know, to be expeditious about it, that was a valid approach, but we're certainly open to discussion as to whether or not we should take a more corporate approach.
Another thought related to that is, with a committee this large, wordsmithing that could spend the next
year.
Trying to come up with something.
You know, though it is wordy, I think in this case, it's, it describes it to the T, and I think we should just roll with the mission. I make a motion to accept the mission and vision statement as proposed.
Been moved to second in. Any discussion? All right. Those in favor?
Aye.
Pose. There is your 3 minutes.
We should give workshops. We give corporate workshops on how to do this.
That's right. Memorize it. All right. Public comments. It's your opportunity to address the committee.
One more quick thing. Update from a workforce committee perspective.
Yes. Okay. I'm glad you brought that up. I was wondering, just from an organizational standpoint, I'm wondering if the FEM committee should have standing. We're getting enough layers now that I'm not sure that we're finishing business when we started, and maybe having a standing agenda item for each of the subcommittees, even if it was we didn't do anything, it's fine as well. But anyway,
I concur with that idea, and this is quick, but for a workforce, I think there's still hope. It's pending, you know, some outcome from their approval process there. But to have Doug Hughes come next month, hopefully, from CBC to talk to us about their program. And then Kelly Harnish also, she invited me to a meeting with Ben Franklin Workforce Development Council. It's called their Adult and Employer Linkage Committee meeting. And so she and I both went, and it was mostly from my perspective, and Kelly, maybe you can offer additional context, but it was to elevate what's happening with the Recovery Center to that forum, which has a lot of different community stakeholders on both the employer and the workforce development side of things, about what we're doing, about the timing, about, you know, and with the idea of incorporating and making sure that the behavioral health is represented in the CHIP, the, what's that called? The Community Health Improvement Plan, and to ensure that they know that with the number of new jobs associated with this, that, you know, it could qualify for a public investment in workforce certification programs. So that was kind of an initial conversation, I guess, but it was just good to be present there. So thank you, Kelly, for setting that up. Did I characterize that accurately?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, public comments. It's your opportunity to address the committee if you have any questions or comments related to the business of this committee.
I feel like we're the old folks. I just want to let you know, over the next couple of meetings, so March and probably April, I'll be bringing my camera in to take pictures for new website development and social media stuff like that. So if you see me trolling around with the camera,
dress it up.
No flowers. Speaking.
Can I ask a question about that?
Yeah.
I know I'm not full time, but Glenn, yes. The Kona broadcasts have been awesome. You know, nice to see all that getting out there. I'm curious if we've looked at any of our Spanish language media partners, because they do some free opportunities for sharing messaging too. So,
okay. Spanish, well, perfect.
I mean, you know, some of our partners on the table do and would be able to.
And if there's anybody who is more comfortable than that, please let me know. Honestly, expanded China work with things that do have stations, so I can access.
Excellent. Thank you, Carla. Yep.
I just had a comment on the mission statement. It said the recovery center at the bottom, and it wondered if that was deliberate to not use the full name. Center for Recovery.
Point well taken, yes. We can. Huh?
And add more words. Two more words.
Yeah.
I think it's a really good point, because I was even reading on the site where I came to the meeting, and there was the recovery center. Really, we have two. So it was like dividing, deciding, is that the Columbia Valley Center for Recovery or the Coalition? I think it is a little bit confusing when we don't use the name we adopted.
Yeah, it's good. I think there's been a couple good Herald articles last month and a half, 2 months, where the new name has been used and emphasized. And so in that channel, I think it's happening, but needs to happen everywhere. Yeah.
BJ, would you?
When we get to other business, we can do that. Yeah.
Okay.
Any other public comments first? All right. No other public comments. We'll move into other business. And I sense you're chomping at the bit to modify our freshly adopted business statement.
I'm trying to remember parliamentary procedure. It's been some years since I can't amend my motion after it's been passed.
It's already been passed, so it would have to be a new motion to change the language of our freshly adopted.
And you would move to amend.
Move to amend.
To include the specific name.
I move to amend the mission statement to include the approved name, rather than just the words, the recovery center.
Seconded.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? Those in favor? Opposed? Motion carries. All right. Any other business?
So on the question of naming and branding and what have you, you know, when we adopted the name several months back, one of the recommended next steps was to, you know, identify a modest amount of dollars that could be used to develop, you know, a branding package around the new name, et cetera. And I was just curious if there's been any movement on making that happen, because I think it would be helpful in so many forums, but, you know, if we had a picture, we had a logo to attach to people's minds in that name, I think it would help a lot in cementing it. People's minds.
There has not been any work put into that, but I think maybe I will ask Glenn to help me out. He can make a few calls and see if we can get an idea of what an effort like that might cost from some of the local marketing groups, and then we can take that back to the commissioners to see if that's something they want.
I mean, I don't think we need to go like full on visit Tri-Cities, you know, year long.
Branding, all that stuff would be the logo.
Even just Glenn with Canva with the couple.
You probably assign that to Nicole. She's the artistic one. But now, Will, let us do that. We'll take that on. Since I will have to fall on my sword here, and I had promised to get the RFP out for the field responders on Monday. I had a really busy first part of my week, and that did not happen. So I am going to adjust the dates in the RFP. I did get approval from the commissioners to issue the RFP, so I'm going to adjust those and send it out
here either this afternoon or first thing tomorrow. And that is going to go just to the three people who responded to the original request. And so I believe that's storage comprehensive and then the city task force. That's on me for not getting that done. It's a chaotic beginning of my week. So it will go out in the next 2 days.
Chad, did the city of Pasco, they withdrew there?
I thought they did, as well. Weren't they connected with Cameron? And I thought they had a decision here.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we don't need to send it to you guys.
Fine.
Okay, fair enough. Then we'll go to the other two.
Sure, none of us can relate to having a busy week. Any other business?
Thank you, Matt.
Yes.
So I really appreciate the open communication that Mike and Matt and others. And so I wanted to, really seeing the mission statement and vision statement really concrete what we've discussed is we're all on the same page. And so I want really the board to know that board's mission statement will put on the screen for you, making communities healthier. And the reason we probably didn't have the full name up there is it wouldn't have fit on one screen. It would have been rolled over. But hey, there'll be some magic that'll bet. And so really part of that mission and vision statements is, expanding existing services and then also providing collaboration and development of services that are not provided. And so I think it's important for the board to know that boards is very much supportive of getting a drug and alcohol recovery center in the community. That is something that we do not currently, nor do we have the capacity to do through a board system. And so we want to make sure that we're strong partners to make that. I know there's been, and I'm new to the community, but already seen some publicity, in about the 72-hour piece. And so we'll work through that. And so I think the thing that gets a little bit maybe muddy is when we're looking at drug and alcohol rehabilitation recovery center versus, inpatient behavioral health. And so that's where we'll just be able to work through that. But highly supportive of getting your recovery component of the community so that these individuals do not have to travel many miles to be able to get that service. And so I thought it just very new board and that where our stance is there. I always lean on Nelly and Mauricio. They know the behavioral health business very well, much better than I do. And so we communicate on a regular basis. I'm sure with them, I started my career in healthcare 35 years ago as what was known then as a psych tech in a behavioral health hospital in Omaha, Nebraska. I was going through nursing school, now a mental health professional, the assistant. And so I know some, but they're the experts, and I lean on them for that to make sure that we as boards are providing that appropriate support to be able to meet the needs of the community. So please, I have thick skin, so if anything ever needs to be asked or clarified, please don't hesitate to ask us to let us know what we can do to strong supporters of our mission and our vision.
Mark, for what it's worth, I mean, your sentiments go a long way with me, and I'm sure a lot of people sitting here. I greatly appreciate the willingness on your part to want to revisit 72-hour restriction. I appreciate your sincere comments of wanting to work with us in this community for a better community for all of us. Because at the end of the day, that's really what it's about. It goes a long way. I appreciate it.
Thank you for that feedback. And wife and I, we bought a home here. This is where we plan to live for the remainder of a career and hopefully into the long future. So we want it to be a better place as well, personally. And then we are both contributors to the community wherever we and want to be active. So thank you for that feedback.
Any other business?
So I just wanted to mention that the substance use committee, or subcommittee, hasn't met for a while. So shout out to my peers that are on the committee so that we can get together. I'd like to discuss some of the changes that have been taking place. It's in the country, but in Washington, it's not going to take place until January or July of 2025. It's the ASAN changes, which oversees the substance use admission criteria. So some of the services that are available or that are going to be impacted are the what they call the social detox. It's no longer going to be available, so we need to talk about that and what other services we can look at. Providers can still provide those services, but it's not going to be a separate thing for that. So talk about that. And then we're also talking about what services we can use the local sales tax dollars. And what I was thinking about is that our behavior, our substance use providers, from talking to some of the providers, is that they can't hire peer counselors, peer support specialists, because it's not a reimbursable service, depending on your insurance. And so thinking about possibility of using some of those dollars for that. We see a lot of individuals that end up in the hospital that are using opioids, and so they don't get connected to the appropriate level of care. And so having individuals there at the hospitals or at other clinics that can assist us individuals that are in need a long way. So maybe talking to the subcommittee about that and getting some recommendations out there, making it back support. Thank you.
Any other business? So no objection, I move to remove to adjournment. Objection noted, we are adjourned.